Today on Real Radio.
Someone might say, "Yeah, but you know, don't get too weepy over this. I mean, who's ever displayed the kind of power that he has? He's raised the dead. I think somebody who can raise the dead can take care of themselves."
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series that looks at the person and work of Jesus of Nazareth. In observance of Passion Week, of course, leading up to Easter, we're taking a look at a topical series called The Problem with Jesus. It's a collection of studies that focuses on the events that surround and lead up to the crucifixion of our Lord. Now, obviously, there were a lot of people who were put to death in Rome. So what makes this Jesus stand out, and why is his death sentence still talked about and studied all these centuries later? Well, that's precisely what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs is going to talk about today. It's called The Problem with Jesus. He's unforgettable.
Well, before I go any further, because I'm feeling very ornery today, skeptic, was there ever a Darius? Was there ever an Ahasuerus? Was there ever a Medo-Persian Empire, I ask you? Was he ever the king over the realm of the Chaldeans? The answer to all of those is a yes. To deny it would declare yourself to be a fool. These are historical facts. Verse 2, Daniel chapter 2, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was Daniel ever there under the leadership or the command of this empire? Yes. He says, I understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet. Daniel was in the Babylonian captivity, or now it's Medo-Persian Empire because they captured Babylon. Daniel is studying his Bible. What is he studying? The same Bible you have on your lap, book of Jeremiah. Daniel's reading it. Why? Because Daniel realizes something. I kind of sense change is coming. It's that I just sense it in my gut. Daniel is thinking, change is coming. I've been here for almost 70 years. Our nation's been held in captivity. Something's coming. What was it? Listen to this. Look at Daniel 9. In fact, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles there. You're going to want to mark this down. Don't ask me to back up. I'm not going to do it. You got to write it down. You're expected to know this. Daniel 9:22. The angel of the Lord is speaking to Daniel because Daniel set out to pray to understand what God would have him to do. Daniel 9:22. And he, that is the angel, informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks, write it down. I'll explain later. 70 weeks, 490, just write down the number alongside your Bible. 490 are determined for your people and for your holy city. That's very easily understood. The Jews are Daniel's people. His holy city is Jerusalem. Two, number one here, in my Bible, in fact, I have F1 written right here, to finish the transgression. Next, I have written F2. What does F mean? First coming. First coming, number one, finish the transgression. First coming, number two, make an end of sins. F3, first coming, number three, make a reconciliation for iniquity. Jesus did all three of those things when he came. Next, S1, bring in everlasting righteousness. S1 means second coming. Number one, prophetic promise. Jesus Christ, when he returns, will bring in everlasting righteousness. It's called the kingdom of God. It's called the millennium. S2, he's going to seal up vision and prophecy. S3, he will anoint the most holy. Verse 25, know therefore and understand. Sounds like Luke, huh? Sounds like Jesus saying, you should have known something here. that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince. That was March 14th, 445 BC. Write it down. There shall be 7 weeks, the number is 49. And connecting plus, you can put a plus sign there, 49 plus 62 weeks, that's 434. If you add 49 and 434, you get 483. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. The temple was not rebuilt. Jerusalem and its walls and its streets were rebuilt. And after the definite article, read your Bible carefully, the 62 weeks, that's the second part. Do you remember, church, I said, are you guys okay? Are you with me? You got to get this. Don't miss it. In the equation, there's the 49 and the 434, which equals 483. After the 434 part, that means you've already added the 49 and the 434 part. Let's watch this. The Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood till the end. Wars and desolations are determined. Then he shall, he, lowercase h, the prince that's going to come someday, will confirm a covenant with many for 1-7. 1 week, 1-7. But in the middle of the week, what's half of 7, ladies and gentlemen? 3.5, he shall bring an end to the sacrifices and offerings, and on the wing of abominations shall be one that who makes desolation. He's talking about the Antichrist, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Watch this. The promise has been given. Daniel is praying about the latter days. God gives him this revelation of understanding. You see, what does all this mean? Ladies and gentlemen, make note of it, mark it down. Never read your Bible based on a 365-day calendar. That's a pagan calendar. You and I live off a pagan calendar. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation does not use a 365-day calendar. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation uses a 360-day calendar. The word hepstad is the word for a week or weeks. It simply means seven. Daniel understood it perfectly, that the numbers being used here are none other than years being spoken of. From March 14th, 445 BC, when Artaxerxes Longimanus gave the command to then his cupbearer, Nehemiah. You ever hear about him in your Bible? Nehemiah, why are you so sad? Why are you so bummed? Why shouldn't I be bummed and sad? My city, the streets are broken down, the walls are broken down, Jerusalem's in a rubble, it's in a heap. And Artaxerxes said, I don't want you sad, what do you want? He goes, I want to go back and rebuild my city. He said, listen, I'll pay for it. Artaxerxes said, I'll pay for it. Here's the decree, which is recorded in secular history. Ladies and gentlemen, skeptic in the house, what's your problem? Artaxerxes told Nehemiah, go, I'll fund it. When did that happen? Oh, March 14th, 445 BC. You count 173,880 days or 483 years, something's going to happen. What's going to happen? The Messiah will be cut off. See, so what? The word means to be killed for committing a capital crime. Can you tell me the crime Jesus committed? Jesus was convicted for being king, Messiah. You can't be that in a world that doesn't want you. 173,880 days or 483 years from March 14th, 445 BC, brings you to April 6th, 32 AD. It's called, in your Bible, Palm Sunday. Jesus said, you guys have the book of Daniel in your house. Why didn't you recognize the day of your visitation? you should have gotten up this morning and got your kids ready and come on out to meet the Messiah. A lot of them did. They laid down their clothes at his feet. But the nation and the nation's representatives, ladies and gentlemen, this saddens my heart, our nation's representatives and leaders do not recognize the authority of Jesus. Some do. But the entire nation of Israel was plunged into diaspora. Jesus said in verse 44 of Luke 19, all of this is happening and shall happen because you didn't know the day of your visitation. He's holding them accountable. Point number two, it's this. Because he alone is undeniable. Mark it down. He's undeniable. The Messiah would undeniably suffer. He would have to suffer. Israel's Messiah must suffer. He must die. Based upon Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, the Messiah would be cut off. Do you know of anyone who fits the bill in Israel's history thus far in our examination? He performed miracles. He was love incarnate, but hated by the religious hierarchy. He rode into Jerusalem on a day specifically announced in the Old Testament on the back of a donkey that had never been ridden, and that the people would shout the Hallel Psalms of 118 and the shouts of Save Us Now. Who fits the bill? You are either right now confronted with believing in the Bible or rejecting the Bible. The Messiah must suffer. I have Jewish friends who tell me, I love your passion for Jesus. I love your understanding for Israel, but the Messiah can't suffer. There's no way that he would allow himself to be one who suffers. The Bible says he must suffer. Psalm 22 says he must suffer. Isaiah 53 says he must suffer. And Jesus suffered. He was cut off, Daniel 9:26 tells us. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 tells us that the Messiah will give his back to those who strike him, his cheeks to those who pluck out his beard, and I did not hide my face from shame and from spitting. And then you read the Gospels. Did Jesus hide his face from being spit upon or being slapped? He did not. He will suffer. Secondly, undeniably, he will redeem. The Bible says that God, the Redeemer of Israel and the world, would be one who would redeem. God said in Isaiah 53:11, 743 years before Jesus was born, this prophecy was in their house, in their synagogue. He, that is God the Father, shall see the labor of his soul, that is God the Son, and be satisfied. Why? Because God is holy. Jack is not. You and I need salvation. But God the Father would see the labor of God the Son's soul as our propitiation and be satisfied. By his knowledge, note this, my righteous servant shall justify many. Why? How? This is how. How does he redeem? For he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus took our sins. It's Passion Week. And they shouted their hosannas. He's the Redeemer. Thirdly, under this point, undeniably, the judge. He alone is undeniable because the Messiah would be undeniably judge. The Bible says, look at verse 43 of Luke 19. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you. And he goes on to say that they'll be closed in on every side and judgment will come to them as a nation because they did not know the day of their visitation. Isn't it interesting that judgment falls to all men, all women who do not recognize the day of their visitation? When we share Christ with people, we want to share Jesus, listen, with the intensity of reality. When we speak about Jesus to people, church, we better get this. I was talking to a fireman yesterday, and I'm going to abbreviate it very quickly. He said they went to a call. A man had had a heart attack. They rolled up on the scene. They shot him with all of the necessary chemicals and They defibrillated him. They brought him back. He was flatlined. They brought him back. This is a local fireman, a local dispatch from our fine firefighters in our area. And the guy came around and he began screaming and crying out, "Do not let me die. Don't let me go back to that place. Do not let me die. Don't let me go back to that place." And he was so out of control, and then he had another heart attack right in front of them. They worked on him. They worked on him. They brought him back. He's screaming. He's screaming. He's screaming. He's grabbing guys. "Don't let me go to that place. Don't let me die. Don't let me die." Had his third heart attack and died. Straight to hell. That you would think would make a believer out of you. And yet I asked that fireman, who's a believer, I said, "Did all those guys get on their face and accept Christ?" No, believe it or not, no. I want you to think about that for a moment. The day of your visitation, when you hear the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, that it's all predicted in the Bible. This is not a joke. He's real. Everything about him's written down. What do you need to know? It's right here. To the very day of his arrival to Jerusalem, and he held them accountable to know it. He's the judge. We will never judge him. He's the judge. Third and final point. The problem with Jesus is that he's unforgettable because he alone is able. No one else is able. He alone is able. Number one, able to be known. I'm so glad. What's the problem with that? There's a lot of people who have a hard time with knowing a personal God. He's knowable. The Bible says, John 17:3, "And this is eternal life." Jesus said that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. He's knowable. The Palm Sunday Jesus is just as knowable today as he was 2,000 years ago riding on that donkey going down that path. And he could have been known in advance if they knew their Bibles. Again, some did. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Do you know you have eternal life? The Messiah, look, secondly, the Messiah would be able to comfort. Able to comfort. In verse 42 of Luke 19, he says, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace." Jesus, if received, brings peace. Peace. No more your heart at war with God. Peace. He wants to bring comfort. In Matthew 23:37, Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." What does this mean? It means that Jesus Christ wants to gather you just like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. He wants you to be gathered under his protection. Don't cry to me. Don't cry to God if your home is left to you desolate. Jesus says, "I want to gather you together, but you're not willing." And finally, we end with this. The Messiah would be able, because he alone is able, to come to you. Gosh, can you imagine? 2,000 years ago, they had their Bibles, and they would have gone to Isaiah and read about the suffering servant, the king that would come, the Messiah, the one who's eternal. If they would have started reading Isaiah in chapter 1, they would have come to chapter 7, or 6 and 7, and they would have read that the one that's coming is going to be the Son, S-O-N, who's eternal. And you know, for 3.5 years, we've been hearing about this guy in his public ministry, but even, you know, for the last 30 years, for that matter, we've been hearing about this guy. I mean, it's no secret. This is Jesus of Nazareth. This is that illegitimate son of Joseph, remember? This is the one that was involved in that scandal 33 years ago. Poor child. Someone might say, yeah, but you know, don't get too weepy over this. I mean, who's ever displayed the kind of power that he has? He's raised the dead. I think somebody who can raise the dead can take care of themselves. Yeah, but you've heard what everyone's talking about him. Don't you? They've always said that he's just a magician, the Pharisees, you know, the leaders of our nation. My goodness, they've sought over and over again to have him arrested. They've put out a bounty on him. They've tried to kill him themselves a few times. And by the way, those who follow him, they're all a bunch of boneheaded, knuckle-dragging Galileans anyway. Shepherds and fishermen, lowlife of our nation. Yeah, well, don't you think it's a little weird that the entire Bible speaks about him? Have we somehow misread something here? I mean, what can you bring against him that sticks? Except one thing. Okay, I'll give you that one thing. He said that he's God incarnate, the Son of God. That means God incarnate. Yeah, that bugs me too, because you know what? Back in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it's in my house, you got it in your house, we hear it all the time in the synagogue, that the Messiah would come out of a town called Bethlehem. And you know, that's where he was born. And that it wouldn't just be somebody born in Bethlehem, but someone who is eternal would be born in Bethlehem. And Malachi 3:1 says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Jesus comes to you. I can't believe he would even do that. Do you recognize the day of your visitation? Have you ever publicly acknowledged Jesus Christ? Where would you be in that crowd? Where are you in the crowd?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a multi-part series called The Problem with Jesus. And of course, one so-called problem with Jesus is that regardless of whether you're for him or against him, he is unforgettable. In fact, that's the title of this lesson today. He's unforgettable. Part of Pastor Jack's multi-part series called The Problem with Jesus. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Monday, and of course that means one thing, that tonight you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on hischannel.com. That's hischannel.com. Now, on Real Life with Jack Hibbs, you'll often see Pastor Jack sit down with some pretty fascinating people, quite frankly, and they talk about serious topics that involve the issues of our day, and they're always addressed through the lens of Scripture. In other words, seeing these things in the light of the Judeo-Christian worldview. Now, if you've seen Real Life with Jack Hibbs, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And of course, tonight we've got another great show for you, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, every Monday night at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. In fact, we have a link to his channel from our own realradioactive.org, so go check it out right there if you get a chance. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.